year? No, like this year, he made it to 70%, which was revealed yesterday and so forth. So it's going to be really interesting to see in what way does he trend. But the bigger story involving Schilling is this. We know that Curt Schilling has said some real controversial stuff at times, whether if it's on ESPN or even on Twitter and so forth. And I really do think that it's really interesting how we have essentially like reacted to Curt Schilling. And how do we respond to Curt Schilling? And I think that it's just really interesting how when we sit here and we talk about how, for example, we say that this is a country of free speech. And we're not going to turn this into a political discussion because this is not a political show. So spare it immediately. We say that this is a country of free speech, but this is not a country of free of consequence. And unfortunately, when it comes to Schilling, he has really, I do mean really, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And especially with the things that he's tweeted over the years. And like, I just think that when you talk about a person whose views have been real controversial at times, and even racist, I'm going to go as far as to say racist. You don't think for one moment that this will have some sort of ramification professionally and personally? And not only just that, not only that, there's a certain level of hypocrisy that I think it needs to be also addressed as well in all of this. Now, I'm no fan of Curt Schilling whatsoever. And large in part, it's because of his views. I'm no fan of his whatsoever. I'm not. And my thing is this. If the Hall of Fame supposedly have bigots and racists that are in the Hall of Fame, that were part of that first, the first handful of classes that were inducted into Cooperstown started in 1936. Don't you think that if we're going to be fair and consistent in terms of including the character clause into Hall of Famers, then why on earth are we even entertaining the idea of inducting Curt Schilling to the Hall of Fame? I love to know why. Because I feel like, I really feel like the Hall of Fame writers, but not even so much the Hall of Fame writers, but the media at times, they want to have their cake and eat it too. I'm sorry to tell you, that's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. And what's appalling to me is this. You have racists and bigots such as Ty Cobb, for example, and especially other guys who absolutely despise people of color, unfortunately, in the Hall of Fame. Yet, and I do mean yet, the idea of enshrining a guy whose comments and tweets have been inflammatory at best into the Hall of Fame, I think there's definitely a level of hypocrisy. First thing first. Number one, as you're listening to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Number one, if you're gonna have those people in the Hall of Fame but not have Curt Schilling, you might as well remove those guys who are presidents against people of color and minorities back in the 30s and 40s out of the Hall of Fame. And do the same for Curt Schilling. It's either that or you approve of his bigoted racist rhetoric and just put him into the Hall of Fame. Because the problem that I have is this. If you're going to have a take or a stance, be consistent. Be consistent in it. Have some spine, for God's sakes. And what gets me annoyed and borderline mad in all of this is that, okay, based on numbers, is he a Hall of Fame? Is he a Hall of Famer? Borderline. His postseason numbers put him over the top. In my book, it pushes him towards being a borderline guy. But as far as, slam dunk, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. Nah, I don't think so. Does he have good enough numbers to get in? Yeah, sure. But apart from the numbers, again, character clause. If you're gonna keep a guy who has repeatedly shown us exactly who he is repeatedly out of the Hall of Fame, then you might as well remove the other people who were quite known bigots and racists. Or you're gonna put him in? I personally, if I had a vote for the Hall of Fame, I wouldn't vote him in. Because of that, simple. It's really that simple. You don't got to agree with me, or you don't got to like me. But the reality is, at the end of the day, I have an opinion, and I'm gonna share it, no matter who it pisses off. So I'm not apologizing right here, right now, or ever for what I said. If you are a well-known bigot and a racist, especially in the sports realm, I don't think that deserves to be rewarded. Not even in the slightest. Not at all. Not at all. And then to top it all off, here we are, possibly a year away from inducting this guy into the Hall of Fame. I have a really big problem with that. I really do. Offer your thoughts at 855-915-9636. I'm going to have an open discussion about this, because this topic really bothers me. Because before all of this, I thought Schilling was a guy who was really enjoyable to watch. And I know Red Sox Nation, Schilling has a special place in a lot of the hearts of Red Sox fans here and elsewhere because of his heroic performances in the 2004 postseason, especially the good old Bloody Sox game, Game 6 of the 04 ALCS, in the midst of the Red Sox comeback against the Yankees. And as well as his contributions during the 2007 postseason run for the Red Sox, in which both years, 04 and 07, they won the World Series. I get that piece. Fine. If there was ever to be a sentimental aspect to all of this, yeah, that would be it. But if we're going to look at it from an objective point of view, something about this just doesn't sit. It doesn't sit right with me. It really doesn't. Not at all. I can't condone the things that he has said. But would I hold it against him? Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's time that we really hold people to a higher regard in terms of what you're allowing to the Hall of Fame. But of course, we can't be too surprised considering you look at who they have already inducted. In terms of the first few classes that was inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's something to just think about. Those are my thoughts. And moving along, there are just some things that absolutely grabbed my attention yesterday when I was looking at some of the things that I was looking through Twitter and whatnot. Honestly, I am amazed. And I don't know. It's just something else. Wow. So I was actually just reading and going through some of the things that that Chilling was that had tweeted and responded to in terms of like the Hall of Fame votes, in terms of Andy Pettit and Chilling, in terms of like his winning percentage. I just found it to be really interesting that, you know, there's no question about his acumen in terms of his knowledge of baseball history and so forth. And I have high respects and high regards for that. However, it's awfully hard for me to, at least personally, to separate him as a person in terms of his views versus the baseball player. It's really hard for me to do that. It's that simple. It's that simple. So, with that being said, in the next segment, I'm actually going to give my thoughts on Derek Jeter, because there was definitely an overflowing of emotions yesterday and last night when the numbers were unveiled in terms of Derek Jeter getting into a Hall of Fame. This is not earlier when I began the show ticked off about the one voter who didn't vote him in and decided to remain unanimous. But actually, just looking back on like with perspective, as a guy who grew up in New York, born and raised, watching Jeter from essentially like when I was a kid all the way up until his last day. So so stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about that plus much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show. Call in the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 WMFO in Medford, Tusk Street Farm Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming live on TuneIn Radio app nationwide and on WMFO.org across the world. And we're going to take the time right now during the 1 o'clock hour to do PSA extension identification. This is 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.
Palmer and the Grand Theft Order.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
We're also going to do PSA now during this hour as part of the station requirements and policies. Keep it in locked in right here, 91.5 WMFO.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone.
Someone older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. So during this segment, I'm going to talk about Derek Jeter, his induction into the Hall of Fame yesterday, and my memories of Jeter as he was inducted into the Hall of Fame with the 99.7% vote. So congratulations to Derek Jeter and Larry Walker for their inductions into the Hall of Fame. I spent earlier in the show talking about Larry Walker. Now it's Derek Jeter's turn. So when I think about Jeter getting into the Hall of Fame, it's truly a seminal moment for Yankee fans, but especially Yankee fans, across all unbiased, unhating baseball fans. And we talk about Jeter, who really represented the sport as well as anyone has ever had in the last 20 years. I mean, and at this point, now that we're here in 2020, we're talking more than 20 years. But the 20 years that he played, no one represented the sport better than Jeter did. I was born and raised in New York, and growing up as a kid, I watched Derek Jeter play. I watched him play and absolutely enjoyed what he brought to the New York Yankees in terms of the winning, of course, and in championships, the magical moments. All of those things. And the one thing that really comes to my mind when, as I sit here talking about Derek Jeter, the day after he's inducted into the Hall of Fame, first ballot, is when you think Derek Jeter, you think of the Yankees. And what's incredible is that he is synonymous with the New York Yankees. Because he played for one team. That was the only team that he ever played for and that he ever wanted to play for. And for Jeter, it was accumulation of so many things, especially for me personally. First and foremost, this was a guy who, in which that even though he wasn't the home run hitter that some of his contemporaries were at that time, but this was a guy who got the big hit and performed the best in the biggest spotlights. And that's what made Jeter so special from day one all the way through his final at-bat at Yankee Stadium. There's so many moments that I could replay in my mind and just reflect on, in which that it just brings back a plethora of memories. And there was a question that was brought up yesterday on MLB Network that was asked about what is your favorite moment from Derek Jeter's career. I sent a tweet in response. My response was, without question, it was game 4 of the 2001 World Series. And at that time, I vividly remember this was in the aftermath of 9/11, about a little more than a month after. Game 4 at Yankee Stadium, first championship series of any pro sport played in New York post 9/11. And it was the Yankees were down. They were down 2-0 to Arizona at that time, but they won game 3. And game 4 was the epic one, in which the Yankees were down the bottom of the ninth, and then Young King had surrounded the game tying homer to Tino Martinez, and then Jeter came up to the plate in the bottom of the 10th inning. What made this particularly special was several things. Number one, there was a moment in the game, in that inning actually, in which that we talk about how Derek Jeter was a guy who always had the ability to come up huge in big moments. And in that moment in particular, really showed exactly the kind of player that he was. And that's what made it so special. And when I look back on that particular moment, there are several things that come to mind. Number one, Derek Jeter, his ability to be able to come up huge in that moment. His ability to come up and help New York heal at that time. In this clip here in particular, really, and I do mean really, does personify Jeter's ability to come up huge in those moments. And a clip that I'm going to play for you in just a few moments, it really does essentially represent everything that Jeter was all about in big moments, especially in October. And it's amazing how at times we know how big it is then, but with more time as it passes, you awfully begin to say, wow, this actually really began to perhaps to mean even more. So that part is going to be what's going to be more interesting. So this hopefully this computer can actually start loading. But anyway, you got to be kidding me. Either or. So with that being said, you can call into the show at 855-915-9636. We're talking about Derek Jeter during this segment, his induction into the Hall of Fame. What are you? What are some of your favorite memories of Derek Jeter as he is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame this upcoming July? So it's going to be pretty special and whatnot. So I can't wait. All right, come on, computer. So with that being said, but anyway, so he had the ability to come up a moment in which that he was able to perform the World Series, the diving into the stands, especially against the Red Sox, this was July 1st of 2004, and also, you know, the play that he'll make deep in the shortstop hole, backhand jump high in the air, throw that type of play, and so forth. All of that, all of in which meant so much to a whole generation of baseball fans, especially Yankee fans, and that to me is what makes this so special. Like, no questions asked. And I tell you, we can sit here and talk about all the moments that made him so special, but I think the one aspect about him that made him so unique was his ability to deal with the New York media. And I do think that when you talk about a guy who understood how to deal with the toughest media market in the world, in which his responsibility carried much, much bigger, much greater than just being the captain of the New York Yankees. He was the captain of baseball. He was a guy who, after every single game, doesn't matter if he went 0 for 5 or 6 for 6 or 5 for 5 or whatever, hit the World Series winning home run or made the last out of a game, he was there always to answer questions. And that's what made him so unique and special. He was never rude. He never came across as controversial. He always dealt with the media very well. And also, more importantly, he never embarrassed the New York Yankee organization or Major League Baseball. Not once. Not once. And from all of those who played with him, who covered the team, the broadcasters, and so forth, it just goes to show you just how universally respected he was. And he deserved that respect. He absolutely deserved it. Not to mention, this was a guy who showed time and time again why he was so much more than just a superstar. He was a guy that you could truly rely on. And that's one of the things that I absolutely enjoyed about watching Jeter on a nightly basis. You know? The home run that he hit for hit number 3,000. I was home that day watching the Yankee game with the feeling and expectation that July 9th, 2011 was going to be the day that he got it done. As part of an unforgettable summer of 2011, that it was for me personally. And I think about that, and as it replays in my head, it was surreal. It was absolutely surreal. And what makes that day even more amazing wasn't just the fact that he got hit number 3,000, but what makes this all the more amazing is that it's the fact that we're talking about a guy who still knew he had a responsibility to go out and actually perform and still go and get the hits that he needed to get in order for his team to win. Because remember, he went 5 for 5 on that very same day, in that very same game. 5 for 5, which included the hit, in which that included hit number 3,000, and also the Yankees won that game, which to him was the most important piece. So you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Let's see if this thing could... We just got to kill this page. Exit page. Yeah. So, as we hit the 2 o'clock hour, one thing that I definitely want to be able to have the opportunity to talk about is the Bruins. I'm going to talk Bruins during the 2 o'clock hour, plus talk some Celtics because they need to be talked about, and especially the game that they had on Monday night against the Lakers. Wow, that's the first word that comes to mind, honestly. So, all of that remains to be seen. And I tell you, personally, I really like what I saw. But I can't wait to get into it furthermore with you, especially as we move forward. So, coming up next, we're gonna talk some Patriot thoughts. That and much more coming up next on the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. And with that being said, this is Strictly Right. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio.
We'll be right back. crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I wanna be the one with you. Just the two of us.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusfee Farm Radio. That was Just the Two of Us by Grover Washington Jr. I'm telling you, I haven't heard this song in a long time, but I'm telling you, I love this song. For some reason, it's just got that perfect melodic blend. You know, just it actually got me kind of dancing in the hallways just a little bit, so to speak, but I digress. But we got 12 minutes left in the 1 o'clock hour, so we're gonna use this final 12 minutes remaining to talk about the Patriots and so forth. And it's been a little while, so I'm definitely in the mood to talk Pats, although it's been a few weeks since anything really meaningful has taken place. But there is something that came up actually this morning. Apparently, Robert Kraft was down in New York, where he was being chased around by TMZ Sports. Shocker, isn't it, eh? So as he was being chased around by TMZ Sports, as it turned out, the question was asked about Brady as to what are you going to do to try to keep Brady? And he, as it turned out, said, quote, "I have a plan to keep Brady." And I am amazed in all of this. And I'm amazed how, again, like, I hope you really do have a plan, because, and not just saying it just to save face, because you do realize that come March 17th, that his contract is officially up. I mean, of course he knows, he's the owner. But also, I do wonder, and I do wonder the following. I wonder if Bob Kraft really has a plan and does intend to follow through on that plan. Or does that plan actually involve stepping on the toes of Bill Belichick again? Because we saw how, yet again, how and why the idea of Belichick going elsewhere isn't out of the realm at this point. I mentioned this on the show a few weeks ago, and the one thing that I did say was that Kraft stepped on the toes of Belichick two seasons ago, 2017 season, in which that he asked Belichick to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, knowing that Garoppolo was going to be the next guy. And I believed it at the time. I really did. And unfortunately, which it meant for Belichick, he kept Brady for another year, which did also happen to include a Super Bowl title. So there's that. A Super Bowl title and another Super Bowl appearance. So not too shabby, isn't it, eh? So after that, here we are. He has an opportunity to leave the Red Sox. And oh, by the way, sorry, that he has a chance to leave the Patriots, excuse me. And oh, by the way, here he is telling a TMZ sports reporter in New York, oh, I have a plan to keep Brady. You sure? And positive? And what exactly is his plan? Because I do wonder. I do legitimately wonder, what is your plan? Because you know the old saying, right? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Quote, Mike Tyson. So Kraft, my question to you is, if, and I do mean if Brady says, I don't want to come back to the Patriots anymore and play for the Patriots anymore. What if he says that? Oh, don't be silly. How can he say no to the Patriots? The only team he ever played for. You'd be surprised. People do change, and so do feelings. Just because you played in one place for so long doesn't mean that you're beholden to that place. It doesn't mean anything. So, with all things considered, how much trust do you have as a Patriots fan in which that Kraft is going to be able to execute his plan to keep Brady? I really do wonder. Sincerely. I really do wonder. Unless you plan to pay him under the table. Whatever that means, I don't know. But I do know this. Apparently, there was an Instagram post in which it was talked about, or it was mentioned somewhere in my feed. I don't know what that was, but one moment. I'm actually going to pull it up on my Instagram. And oh, by the way, for those who have social media, you can follow me on Instagram at @SWRIGHTSRadio_. That's my Instagram. Follow me at SWRIGHTS Radio, SWRIGHTS Radio, RADIO_. That's my Instagram handle. You can follow me there. But apparently, it doesn't look like you're still there. May have deleted it, but I guess I spoke too soon. So my apologies. But either way, I'm curious to see as how is it that Kraft is going to pay Brady? How is he going to get this deal done? What's Belichick's involvement in all this? What would his role look like in all this in order to try to keep Brady here? Because I'll put this out in the open right now. I want to put this out in the open that I personally hope that Brady stays. Personally, I really do. But I will not be surprised if he leaves. No harm, no foul if he does. But I personally hope that he stays. But we'll see. Time will tell. We got a long ways between now and March. I mean, it's not that long from now, but it is rapidly approaching. And I do know that at the 2 o'clock hour, which will be the third hour of the Shukri Wright Show, there's an article that came out about within the hour from the Boston Globe that I actually want to discuss, which will open up the baseball discussion. And this is absolutely interesting, and I'm going to read a part of it that really stands out and that caught my attention, that there is an explanation as to why the players aren't being punished in the Astros and Red Sox sign-stealing scandal. So definitely stay tuned for that, because this one is going to definitely cause some kind of buzz. Just hoping that this computer isn't freezing on me again. But either way, in the meanwhile, I'm going to continue while this thing does its own thing. But there's two stories that I want to get to within the next hour, which will be the hour number three of the radio show. First one, as I mentioned, the Globe article in which that it was talked about the players, why aren't they being punished in this scandal, but also there was a setback with Dustin Pedroia that took place, which could impact his ability to be ready for the start of spring training. But we shall see. We shall see. So, with that being said, we'll be back after this short music break here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. And this is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.